still signing your checks 2015. Probably haven't had a chance to do that yet because it's been the weekend. Guess what? We get to worship. Is anybody ready to worship this morning? I am. Let's prepare our hearts. Father, we come before your throne of grace right now. We just ask, God, that you would just allow us to enter into, Lord, union with you. Lord, enter into, Lord, your presence. Lord, we pray, God, that you would allow us, Lord, to leave any of the distractions of 2015 behind and start afresh and anew here in 2016. Help us, Lord, to have our hearts open, not just today, but, Lord, our hearts open for whatever you want to do in our life this year. Help us, Lord, to be ready, God, to hear your voice and to be obedient to what we hear. Pray, God, that you would just allow, Lord, our hearts to enter into, Lord, in this time, a time of seeking you. Lord, we know that when we seek you, we will find you when we search for you with all our hearts. So help our hearts tune in. Help our hearts, Lord, connect. And we just ask this now in Jesus' mighty name, and we give you all the glory and praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
stars they left, the morning sun was there. The Savior of the world was fallen, His body on the cross, His blood poured out for us, the weight of every curse upon.
Has rendered you defeated. sing hallelujah.
We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. The Lamb is overcome. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah.
About anyone else, but I have had 3 or 4 weeks of disgusting time with the Lord. I have been angry with Him, very angry with Him. And then I would repent, I'd be angry again. My baby, my boy, is on his way to Alabama, 1 year again away from his family. 1 year, he's driving there by himself. I thought, Lord, why? He doesn't need to learn to fly an Apache. He doesn't need to learn that one more thing. His children, his family, his wife, his mother, we need him. We want him at home. But the Lord has a different plan. The Lord's plans are always greater than ours. I don't know why Jason is going to be in Alabama for a year, and then I'm sure deployed again. But last night I was dreaming, and the Lord said, who else had a perfect plan? Who else had a sacrifice? And that made me so sad to think, selfish me, worried about my boy and my grandchildren, my daughter-in-law, and the Lord God gave his son. He sacrificed his son for all of us. That was the plan. That was Jesus's plan. No matter what Jason's plan is, Jesus's plan was to suffer and die for all of us. Then I remembered God had a plan in the garden. It was a perfect plan, a perfect world, a perfect life. But he knew even then, after creation of the garden, that even then there was going to be sin. Even then there was going to be disappointment. You think that Gaylene and her family is excited about the plan the Lord had for her father? Do you think that all of us that are hurting in whatever way it is, that we like that plan? But I'm telling you, the Lord has a plan for this year, for this hour, for this day, for this second. And as long as we are selfish and think of just ourselves and care about only what we do, and if our needs are met, then we're missing the boat. Then we can't say Jesus is alive. We can't say Jesus is alive because we're not really meaning Jesus is alive. So Lord, this is our new year. This is our new year with you. And Lord God, we exalt you as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We exalt you as the creator of this universe. We exalt your name. And we know that you are power and you are strength and you are mighty and you are a healer. And Lord, you are a protector. And I thank you, Lord God, that even though I ache for my boy, you hurt even more for your son. So all the sadness, all the disappointments of last year, lay them to rest. And let's move on in the light and the glory and the peace and the love of the Father and the forgiveness. Lord, you are holy. We are blessed because we call you Father. May we be your sons and daughters this year. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Lifted high forever.
time we need you, we're met by love. We can lift our hands to heaven full of faith. 'Cause every time we worship, we see your face. We can run straight into your arms unafraid. 'Cause every time we need you, we're met by love. We can lift our hands to heaven full of faith. 'Cause every time we worship, we see your face.
like you, Lord, but I want to share a little bit. Just what the Lord was saying to me this morning, and you know, we go through and we know Jesus came, you know, we know he was God, we know he was man, we know he died on the cross. We know all this, and we know God is so great. We know he's sovereign. We know he's the creator of the universe that's 30 billion light years wide or however far. And all that's great, and I'm not discounting the value of that at all. I'm just saying the value of that hits your life when you realize that's who he is, and he still wants a relationship with you. He doesn't just want a relationship. He wants to be in every part of. He wants that communion, that full shared life. And that's the very thing that we've given our lives to the pursuit of God. Because he's continuously pursuing us with that unending, relentless love. It's easy to think, well, he doesn't have time for me or my problems. He's got all the time in the universe. So as we just reflect on that for a second, that simple truth of who God is and how he still chooses us, we're going to roll back into "There is no one like you, Lord."
You, Lord.
no one like you, Lord.
The feet of Jesus, and we cry out.
Hard for some of us to realize or even picture us falling down and laying our crowns right now, because we say, what crowns do we have? It seems like kind of an empty statement. But let's just fast forward, which isn't too far away, believe me, where we are with all the saints that have been gathered in. And he is worthy of us laying down everything, anything that we've earned. Because really, we haven't earned it. That's what it's all about. It's like, God, this is because of you. This is all because of you. Our life, our achievements, our successful relationships, all the things that we value, is only because of him. It's all because of him. And so where you're at right now, you can by faith just say, Lord, I'm at this point because of you. And whether it's not the best place, you know, he's going to be the one that takes you from right here on through 2016 and beyond. It's because of him. And sometimes when it's difficult, it's hard to give him glory, to give him praise, to say it's going to be okay. But it is. That is the truth. It is going to be okay. Because he's got you. Whatever circumstance and situation, he's got it. You don't have to fix it yourself. You don't have to figure it out. You don't have to bring it to completion. He's got it. We used to sing a song, he's got the whole world in his hands. He's got you and me, brother, in his hands. He's got us in his hands. He's got it. But the more we struggle, the more we fight, the more we resist, you know what? We slip out of what he wants to do. And then we got to get to the place again where we yield. Lord, you got this. So Lord, we declare right now as a body, we declare, Lord, as your children, you've got 2016. You've got it. No matter what 2015 looked like or previous years, you've got these years ahead of us. And we do, we set our hearts and we set our lives. We set our entire beings into your hand. As Barb said, Lord, we want to be your children. We want to act and we want to respond to you like children. Not spoiled brats, but grateful sons and daughters. Help us to be grateful sons and daughters. Help us to treasure the gift of life that we've been given right now. Help us to realize, Lord, that no matter what the circumstances look like, you've got them. You've got them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, team. That was amazing. Yeah, praise God. I was telling Glenn, he was singing a song of the Lord before we even started practice worship, and I said, oh, that's a throne room song. And I told him, not that throne room, the real throne room of God. And what that means is that when we start singing out of our being, out of our spirit, out of that inner man, it doesn't come from the natural. It comes from God. And it's I believe it connects with heaven in a supernatural way. When we were singing that, was anyone else sensing the presence of God stirring in them? Maybe not, you know, all flushed and ready to pass out or anything like that. But I mean, could you sense the momentum of God in this place? Anybody else? I see a couple people. Barb saying yes, but anybody else? No, I really mean it. Did anybody sense anything? Because if we're not sensing anything, we got to do something different. Really, if we're not connecting with God, then we need to figure out something else, because that's what it's about, right? It's not about us coming and enjoying this service. I'm telling you, it's not. It's not about hearing the next latest greatest message. It's not about hearing the next latest greatest song. It's about connecting with God. And if we leave this place and we haven't connected with God, we failed. And if we as leadership don't help you connect with God, we failed. Because that's what we're here for. Connecting with each other is a byproduct of that. But if we don't connect with God, what do we have to give to each other? Just saying. If we don't first connect with God, what do we truly have to give to each other? Our own understanding, our own wisdom, our own knowledge? Well, that's only gotten us this far. I don't know about you, but I don't want to go just this far. I want to go into what he's got for us for 2016. Sorry, I'm not preaching today, but a little bit. Are there any children here today? I know we're all children of God, but are there any children that... They're already downstairs. Oh, wow. Are there any more children? Does anybody want to go downstairs and be with the children? I'm just kidding. So praise the Lord. Well, we are blessed today to have one of our own sharing. She came up to me last week and she goes, Pastor Mike, can I maybe get in? And she's just so humble. She doesn't want to put any pressure or anything. The next few weeks, I said, well, next week's like the first of the year and I got to have my first of the year message, you know, old school, right? Old thinking. And, you know, I thought, you know what? She may have the most amazing first of the year message. And so everything that I'm sharing about, we're all a voice, we're all part of this service, we're not just spectators, is in that everyone has a song, everyone has a voice, everyone has a prophetic word. You don't always give it, but it's in there. Do you guys realize that? You all have something in you to give. May not be right now at this point. Maybe when you come in and you visit someone and you just share the love of God, you give them a hug. You know, you're doing your part. You know, when one of us is missing, whether it be through, you know, circumstances or illness, you know, we all suffer. You know, when one of us is hurting, we all suffer, you know? And it's, even though we maybe don't realize it, sometimes, well, I don't feel that. I don't sense that from, you know, that person's problem, but it still affects us. Even though we may not feel it in our natural, it still affects us as a body. So with that said, I'm going to have Lisa come on up and bring the 2016 message. I don't know if that's it. Maybe it is, huh? Bless you. Yes, Glenn, yes, absolutely.
It's not to cut Lisa off, but when Pastor was talking about a couple things, something just jumped out at me, and about how we all have a voice. And we know that we all have a voice. Sometimes we do things to try to mask that, to try to imitate other people because we think somehow they're more important than us. But I just got this picture, again, of the throne room. And we know there's 24 elders, right? And they all cast their crowns before the throne. And all of them are singing. And if not all of them were singing, it wouldn't be heaven. Do you guys... That's what I heard from the Lord. Does that make sense to anyone else? If only 23 of them were singing, it wouldn't be the throne room of God, because when you see him, that's what happens, is you fall before him. So we all have a voice here, And pastors have made it abundantly clear that we all have a platform, a safe place that we can share our hearts. And if we want to see Kevin come here, we're all going to have to step up and we're all going to have to take hold of that voice and take responsibility for it and let the Lord teach us how to steward that. Because that's my hope for this place, is that it's a place where we encounter God, where heaven has rain, where we capture the atmosphere of heaven, where all of us are expressing our voice, the very uniqueness that God's placed in each of us. And when that happens, it's going to begin to look more like heaven, because when we're stuck striving and trying to imitate other people, we're not being the best selves that we can be. So that being said, Lisa's amazing, and I'm so glad that she is on the mic today. So give her a round of applause.
Can you guys hear me?
Okay, good. Awesome. Today, what I'm talking about, I found that normally when I speak, it's best to speak about something I know something about, something that God's dealing with me about, and not try to manufacture something, because it just, yeah. So anyway, my desire today is just to be real. I just want to be real. I mean, you know, I can probably say there's probably no carbon copy of me. Some people are going, thank God. So, yep, they broke that mold. So anyway, 2016, here we are. Yep. And I think that clock is winding up pretty fast for us. So this is going to be kind of weird, but I want to ask my husband, Rowdy, if he would pray for me, my covering, my other half, if he would just pray for me before I preach.
Lord, we thank you this morning that we could all come as one into a place that is not your building, but our bodies together can come to worship you. We can come to receive what we need. We can come to comfort one another. And I pray this morning, as you minister through my wife, God, that you would touch each and every heart, and that we would open our minds, open our hearts, and we would be here as one to begin a new beginning, a new day, a new year, a new life. Let us have ears to hear and hearts to receive what you have for us. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Sorry. Woo. All right. Today I want to talk to you about the power of saying yes. And God gave me some very specific people. I mean, we can open up Hebrews chapter 11 and we can go down the hall of faith and we can read about a lot of people that said yes. And I'm going to talk about some of those people today. But as we go into 2016, we have got to let God absolutely have his way in our life. And well, I'll get into that a little further. Very honestly, during the Christmas season, I'm a Grinch. Worked in retail for 16 years, and I'm like, I'm over it. No offense, I'm over it. I have a little Grinch, and I love him. He is my I love my little Grinch. My husband can tell you. He says yes. I'm saying that first because I'm going to jump into the Christmas story. Okay, first where I want to go is Luke chapter 2.
Hold on, let me be sure that I am going to the right place here. I think we dropped over. Luke chapter 1, sorry. Let's get to the right place here, 24. Beginning to read in verse 24. Actually, 26. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city in Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible." And then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. What happened when she said yes? That's my question. What happened when she said yes? She could not possibly have fathomed what was coming down the road for her. And when we say yes to Jesus, we can't possibly fathom what's going to come down the road for us. No one can understand. I mean, we have mothers here that understand holding your baby and raising a difficult child. But honey, this right here is off the map. This is off the chart. Try being the mother of the Son of God. Think about her for a minute. I mean, let your mind go there for a minute. You guys who have mothers, have babies, you've held them, and now you've got teenagers and you're going, "Oh my gosh." Put Mary's little shoes on for a minute and think about her. This is what she signed up for. She said yes. And she was young. And I just want to tell you young people, I'm telling you, when you say yes to Jesus, you better hold on, honey, because here it comes. Jesus has something for you. You know what really gets me about the world is that it's a cheap imitation of what Jesus can actually give you, of what Jesus can do in your life. I joined the military, and I had a praying grandmother. Thank God for that. I had a praying grandmother, because when I went in the military, I went berserk on every drugs and, oh God, we don't need to even go there. There's nothing back there for me. That ship has sailed. Jesus saved me, but I had a praying grandmother. And the world promises you so many things. The world is vying for your attention. Vying for your attention with every bit of music you listen to, 50 Cent, whatever. I'm not trying to be cool. I'm not, because we all know how that would go from a 52-year-old woman. But what I'm saying is there's a cheap imitation for what Jesus wants to do with you. The devil is after our young people today. I mean, let's just face it. It's winding up, and he's after your heart. Why? Because somebody's got to replace us old folks, and God wants young people in his house. Remember the three Hebrew children? They were the best and the brightest out of the Hebrews. This wasn't on my page. Maybe I need to just throw this thing away. But they were the best and the brightest. And the devil is after our best and our brightest.
He's after the ones sitting in the pews today, sitting in the chairs, the ones who have a call on their lives, the one that Jesus has put his fingerprint on, the one who's had praying parents, people who have been up all night long. And you may not have done everything right, but I'm telling you, you say yes to Jesus and get ready for a ride because it's coming. The world can only promise you destruction. The world can only promise you emptiness. But I'm telling you right now that when we say yes to Jesus, you're going to find yourself in places you never thought you would go. I promise you that. I'm an old woman standing up here, and I'm telling you, I said yes to Jesus. Let me just give you a small example. I remember I got saved, and like about 6 months into being saved, I said, I wonder what the Pacific Northwest is like. 2 weeks later, I was here. I'm just saying. I was like, whoa, woo. And God knew my heart. I'll be honest with you. My heart's kind of wild. I mean the more fast and furious and whatever. I mean, I like my downtime, but my heart's pretty crazy. I mean, I can just get out there. And God knows that about me. And God knows what's inside your heart, what makes you tick. God knows what makes you, I mean, the world will try. Okay, here we go. Okay, here we go. I'm just going to say it. All right. Where I work, there's not, shall we put it this way, a lot of people that love God. There might be 1.5 of us at work that actually love God, okay? And so we were talking about coming to church, and they said, oh, I think church is brainwashing. So when I leave to come to church on Sunday morning, I tell them, I'm going to brainwashing. See you later. They're like, I'm like, So, but what I'm saying is sometimes we go to secular universities, okay? We go to secular universities, and they're after your heart, and they're after your mind. And they're trying to wash the very trace of God out of your life. They're trying to take everything that you've wondered about, and they're wanting to replace God with a cold nothing. Everything, I mean, bling, kumbaya, bling, you know, everything's good. And they wash away the difference between right and wrong. The problem is when you say yes to Jesus, he's going to give a clear line of between what right and wrong is. Okay? He's going to give you a clear line of what that is. It's not easy to be a Christian. I'm not going to stand up here and blow sunshine. Sorry if that was rude. I'm not going to stand up here and blow sunshine and tell you that every day with Jesus is just, you know, because we know that it's not. Come on. I'm being real this morning. There are days when it's just stinking hard, you know? But when we say yes to Jesus and we mean that yes, look at Mary here. There was a prophecy in the next chapter. Simeon told her, you know what? Emotional pain is coming your way, honey, your heart. You don't know what you're in for here. Can you imagine when Jesus was growing up, the temple is the next time we pretty much see him. And he tells his mom, why are you troubling me? Don't you know I'm about my father's business? You know, really? Okay, so that was the first little, uh-oh. And then on he goes in Cana of Galilee. His first miracles, Mary says, just do what he tells you to do. And today, that's the message. Just do what he tells you to do. And as we go through this, she was with him through the ministry. And she was there when he went to the cross. She was there through all of it. Her yes took her to a dark place. And there are times when your yes will take you to a dark place. And we have to understand that about serving God. But you know what? Joy comes in the morning. Joy comes in the morning. We've already read the back of this book for those who've said yes, and they keep saying yes, and they hold on to that yes, no matter what comes or goes in this life. I said yes, and I meant it, and I don't back up from it. Today in our lives, it's so easy to back up from the vows that we have given. It's so easy to just quit on marriages. It's so easy to tear families apart, because when we say yes, we don't mean yes. Today I'm asking you, does your yes mean yes? That's what I want to know. Okay, let's keep moving here, sorry. We see her in Acts chapter 2. She was up in the upper room. But her yes had some dark times and her yes had some questions. You're not going to understand every place that your yes is going to take you. You're not going to understand every path that you're going to go down. And it's not going to make a lot of sense to you. And sometimes we walk away from our yes, like the prodigal son. He walked away from his yes. He went on. He did his thing. He joined himself to people from that country. And the next thing we know, he's in the hog pen eating. He is so hungry that he's willing to go to a hog pen and eat. And he ended up coming back to the Father. He ended up coming back. And today God is saying, come on back. Isn't it something when God says yes? When God said yes, come on back. When God looks at you and says, I don't care about the pig poop between your toes. Come on back. It doesn't matter. Come on, kill the fatted calf. Kill that calf. Let's get a party going up in here. Come on back because I love you. When God says yes to you, he can change your whole world when he says yes. The next thing I thought about... God changed up on me. I thought I had this all figured out. And then before service, it was like, what was that sound? Thank you. I got on some of that. So I got Well, what I thought about Moses. And I was thinking about this boy. And we're back to young people again. So bear with me, okay? I know, you guys, this sounds like a lecture from your mother, but I'm begging that the Spirit of God will touch your heart. But Moses was sent out into a river by faith, was sent out, and she watched, and he grew up in the palace. He grew up in Pharaoh's palace. But he never could quite get away from who he actually was. Isn't that something? We try to push that down. I don't know how many of you, I grew up with a grandmother, like I said, who loved me and prayed for me and cared for me. And when I was out in the world, when I would be drunker than a skunk, I would be sitting on the bar still talking about Jesus. Because I couldn't get away from it. It was in there. I couldn't run far enough or fast enough because people were praying for me. And I'm telling you, parents, you're praying for someone, a lost one out there, a prodigal son or daughter. I'm telling you, keep praying because you don't know. You don't know what God has. But I'd be sitting on the bar stool, drunk as a skunk, talking about Jesus. I'm serious. Isn't that funny? I know it is. But really, it was because I was trying to get away and be something I wasn't. But no matter what I did, no matter how I dressed, like Moses, he probably put on Pharaoh's outfit, put on Pharaoh's clothes. He could not get away from the message and what was sown in his heart and praying families and praying people over him. You never know what God has in store for you. Do you think Moses thought for 1 minute when he was strutting around Pharaoh's palace that he was going to be the deliverer of Egypt? No, he didn't. He tried to run. He couldn't reconcile in his heart. He was trying to figure out, ooh, I'm a Hebrew, but here I am. And he couldn't get away from it. And he ended up killing an Egyptian, and he ran because he didn't know what to do, and it was all messed up and jacked up. But it was the plan of God. God knew. And he went out on the backside of the desert for 40 years. The guy who grew up in Pharaoh's palace was now back in the back. And this is not original. I've heard it from actually a couple different preachers this week. So I thought, there's a message there. I need to probably bring this forward. But he was out in the backside of the desert. And when he saw the bush burning, it wasn't unusual for a bush to burn there. What was unusual was that the bush was not consumed. And that's why he stopped and looked. And God said, take off your shoes. You're on holy ground. And so he had to take off his shoes. And I wonder in that moment if he thought, ew, it's found me. It's come to haunt me. It's found me. I couldn't run fast enough or far enough. He found me. And I want you to know today, no matter how far or how fast you've run, God's right there. He's right there. He hasn't given up hope on you. He still has a plan for you. Even though you may not feel worthy of that plan, even though you're like, I'm the last person you need to be hunting down. I'm a failure. Do you see me back? I'm hiding back here in the backside of the desert. I do not want to be found. And God said, no. I've known where you are all the time. It was like last week I lost my phone in here. And I was like, where's my phone? Where's my phone? And so finally I got a hold of Verizon. And they pinged my phone and found it. And I'm wondering if God has pinged you and found you this morning. I'm wondering. And he sent somebody after you to find you today, to find you wherever you are. David said, if I make my bed in hell, you're there. It doesn't matter where you are, how far you've fallen. If I go to the heavens, you're there. If I ascend into the depths of hell, you're there with me. It doesn't matter where I am. You are there. It doesn't matter how far you've fallen. It doesn't matter how far you've tried to run from yourself or your past. God said, I'm right here. I'm right here. Take off your shoes. You're on holy ground. You and I need to talk about something. I need a yes from you. But I can't speak, and I screwed up, and I'm the last person you need to be dealing with, and you really should look for someone else. And God's like, no. You're the one. You're the one. Oh, no, I'm not the one. Oh, you're the one. What's in your hand? A stick. Throw it on the ground. Today, the lesson from the stick. That stick represented a few things. Number one, it represented his income. He was a shepherd. Number two, it represented his influence. He shepherds, fields, family, everything. Okay? All of those things were found in that. And today God is saying, throw down your identity. Throw down your income. Throw down everything you think you are. Throw it down at my feet and watch what I will do with it. Watch and see what I will do with it. Now, the scary thing, it transformed into a snake. And as I thought about that, and I feel the Holy Ghost right now, sometimes when we throw our things, when we throw ourselves, when we throw everything we are down at the foot of the cross, and we throw it there in faith, and we're afraid, and it's scary to pick it back up again because you're like, what are you going to do? It's like, you know, we like our cactus blanket. It's like a cactus blanket. We know what to expect from it. If I just, you know, I don't want another blanket because I like my cactus blanket. I know what to expect from my cactus blanket, right? But when we throw everything that we are, who we are professionally, who we are in our identity, the deep core of who we are, when we throw it at the feet of Jesus and we see him transform it, it gets a little scary to reach down and pick that thing back up again. But that's exactly what God wants. He's like, throw it down here. Take it for a spin. Test me. Try me and see. God challenges us today. He's like, try me. Come on. Try me. Take it for a spin. Try me. Come on, take it for a spin and see what I will do. See what I will do for you. The thing is, we'll kind of put some of the stick on there and draw it back. But when we give God a wholehearted yes and not a maybe and not a no, you know, when we were in second grade, if you like me, yes, click the box. If it's a no, click the box. If it's a maybe, this morning God's wanting a wholehearted yes out of us. He's wanting a wholehearted yes. Take what's in your hand, what he has already given you. It's like Prego, the spaghetti sauce. It's in there. It's all in there. Everything you need, God has put in there. God's been dealing with me about consent. He's like, you have all of this available to you, but you won't give me consent to make it, to appropriate it in your life. We have all of those things, but we don't say yes. We can stand up here every week and we can tell you, Pastor Mike, they can you know, all that we have in Jesus is all we can do. I mean, we can open the toolbox up in the treasure box and spill it out there on for you on the floor. But until we get an unqualified yes, until we decide that we're going to walk up and take advantage of what is ours and walk away with it, we take the communion elements. Where's the yes? Where's the yes? God's been dealing with me about yes, so I'm not standing up here like I have the answer. I want you to know I'm preaching this because I have to deal with it first. I had to deal with it first. Okay, so the theme this morning, Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah. We've been talking about it all morning. It's been said in worship. Mike referred to it. Pastor Mike referred to it. Isaiah was in the throne room of God, and God walked in, and the train filled the temple, and there were people that were saying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty." And Isaiah is viewing all of this. Can you even imagine? Let your mind go there. We can watch all this crazy stuff we watch on TV, but we can't let our mind go to heaven for just a minute. I'm telling you, take the restraints off and let your mind go to the throne room for a minute and just see what Isaiah saw and how beautiful it was. And holy, holy, holy. I mean, he was shaken. God walked out and he was shaking everything. Everything was shaken. And when God walks into our life, everything is going to shake. Get ready. There's some things going to fall off the walls. There's some things that's going to fall out of our lives. God's going to shake us. That's what he does best, is he shakes us. Thank God for that. I'm telling you. One of the songs on the radio, I can't even remember what it is now. I'm just singing it. I would rather have, I need a flame. I mean, I need to burn. I am so tired of living in the smoke. Do you ever get tired of that? Do you ever want more? I'm just asking. I mean, I don't know. I'm just talking for me right now. Yeah, brother. I'm talking for me. Excuse me. I'm just talking for me right now. My heart cries out for more, and I don't even know what that looks like. I can't even articulate to you what more is. I just want it. You get so tired of living in smoke that you just want to dwell in the flame for a while. Just like, burn me up. I just want to burn for you, God. I just want to be like that bush that God was in, but it wasn't consumed. It just burned. I remember a preacher a long time ago. I can't remember exactly who it was. He said, "What's the secret to your preaching?" He said, "I just catch on fire and people come and watch me burn." And I pray this morning that we just catch on fire and people would just come and watch us burn. Billy Sunday, thank you. I'm glad my husband's here. He knows all of these stories. Like, I can't remember who. He remembers who. All right, so the last thing, I thought about Jesus, and you covered it very, very well, but we're going to go to it again. Jesus knew there was a yes before time began. I'm going to go. It's a done deal. I'm going. So He came to earth. We already talked about his mother. But he came to earth in this flesh. You know what? We have a high priest that can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Do you know what that means? He says, "Me too. Me too." I know what that means. I heard, you know, Stephen Furtick, I heard him preach this message, "Me too," and I just loved it. Me too. Too. Jesus says to us today, "Me too. I know what it's like. I understand what it's like to live on this earth, to be hungry, to be tired, to go through and deal with sinners every day and people pulling on you." And he understood. And what he understands most today, he understood. He had to go through a fight in Gethsemane, okay? Everything else was easy for him. Somebody's blind. They can see. I mean, everything was easy for him. Stretch out your arm, healed. Boom. Everything's great, you know. But when it came to Gethsemane, Jesus had to come up with a yes because he understood what was at stake. He understood. He prayed so hard that his skin, capillaries burst, and he's sweating great drops of blood because of the intense pressure to get that yes out. When his flesh, when his human flesh wanted to say no, everything within him knew that if he did not say yes, we would not have a chance. We would not be able to have a future and a hope. We quote Jeremiah 29:11. We've got Jeremiah 29:11 because Jesus was in Gethsemane and he said, I will not say no, but my answer is yes. And he had a fight. So if you wonder, God doesn't understand about the fight. Oh, Jesus understands about the fight. Not only did he go to the cross, we need to understand something about the cross, guys. And I think most of you do. He paid your sin debt. Okay, think about the average sinner that dies lost without God. They bear the weight of all of their sins, okay, that they've committed their life, all their lives. Jesus paid for all of the sinners that were ever born in the past. Jesus paid for all of the sinners then, and Jesus paid for all of the sinners in the future. Can you fathom that? All of God's wrath, all of God's fury, all of the anger that he felt towards sin that is in our lives, he took it and he threw it on his son. And today, we can say yes. We can say yes. He gave us the opportunity to say yes. Will you accept me? Oh, I don't know. I don't know. I'm not really sure. I'm just asking you, Jesus took our sins. And the church needs to be shaken up now and then about the cross of Christ because we forget. We go to sleep, man. I mean, I do. We get comfortable. And that's the worst thing that could happen. You know? And we forget about those that are lost out there. And we get comfortable in ourselves and we forget about, you know what, God? Yes. Yes, every day of our lives, yes. This is a hard season, and it would be easier to do this, but God, yes. Yes, God, I'm going to go through, and yes, God. There are people, that great cloud of witnesses that we talk about in the book of Hebrews, they're all ones that said yes. They're standing up there saying, come on. We used to have this old song. Some of you probably know it. You can make it if you try. There's a great cloud of witnesses watching that said yes. They're waiting on you, running in your lane, saying, yes, I'm going to make it. I can do it. The nice thing about the yes that we give to Jesus is you don't say yes alone. He's going to help you. We're not talking about behavior modification here. I'm not talking about cognitive behavioral therapy. I'm not. I'm talking about Jesus washing away our sins. I'm talking about Jesus coming in and radically changing us. And your behavior changes, and you don't even realize what's going on. Jesus just did his thing because you said yes. And the next thing you know, you're like, oh, I didn't cuss right then. Wow. Because normally I would have been, boop, do-do-do-do-do, boop. Really, I'm serious. All of a sudden we change, and we don't even realize what's happening. It's just happening, and we've said yes, and Jesus is doing his work. And before you even know what happened, you've got behavior modification, all right, but you've got a soul. You've got a transplanted brand new thing in there. God took that old man out, and he put the new one in, and all we have to do is say yes. And it doesn't have to be anything big, grandiose, and great. A lot of people think, I got to square myself away before I come to church. That is a lie straight from the pit of hell. I'm just saying. Church is for people who need help. If there's any place where we should be able to come and be ourselves and bring our junk in here and dump it at the throne of Jesus, it should be the church. It should be a place where people feel safe coming in here and saying, I'm not perfect. Man, I got some needs, and I need some help. and not be phony, but just be real about the fact that I need to come to the cross. Jesus, I need a washing. I need you to take some burdens off of me. I need to renew my yes. I need to jump back in that fire again and get out of the smoke. Does anyone understand what I am saying? Okay. So this is what I'm saying, guys. Yes, Jesus said yes. And he said, Father, as he was hanging on the cross, Father, for the first time in eternity, he's separated from God the Father. He's separated from him. And as he's on the cross, he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? But he went through. He could have called 10,000 angels. I know this is old school. I know we have, you know, with cross, we've preached the cross to death, but I think we need to hear it. I think we need to hear it. He could have called angels and he could say, you know what? They're not worth it. Look, the same bunch that were following me 2 weeks ago or the same crowd that's going, crucify him, you know how people are. One day they're your friend, the next day they're not. But Jesus wants to give you life and he wants to give it more abundantly. And everyone who's saved, how many of you just settled? You've just settled for your life. He wants to change that up. How many of you just have wild hearts? I mean, am I like the only freak in here? You like, I love roller coasters and just weird stuff and fun. And I work in a lockdown psychiatric facility with, it's awesome. But I have a wild heart. I do. I'm telling you, God knows. He made you. He made my wild heart. The one that's just kind of weird and off. And he made it, and he knows exactly who you are. And you are uniquely, you've got it in there. You've got that stick in your hand. What's in your hand? Use it. Cast it down before Jesus. And watch what he will do with a simple yes. I remember when I got saved, I couldn't even pray. I couldn't say anything. Father, I'm a sinner. I couldn't say anything. I was just at the cross, at the altar, just going, whoa! I couldn't even pray, but I knew when I got up, I was saved. You know, I didn't say the mandatory, Jesus, I'm a sinner. I mean, you know, the second time, she had to pray with me, like a child, thank God. But when I got saved, I couldn't even pray. God knew my heart. My heart was just broken before him. And I couldn't say that, Jesus, I'm a sinner. I accept you as my Savior. Wash. You know, he knew. I was just like, help! Yes! Whatever! You know? Maybe that's what we need today. Okay. Well, that's all I have. Okay. Well, you know what? Let's chill for just a minute. Why don't we close our eyes for just a second? And I want to give people a chance to say yes. I don't want to draw this out because, you know, I mean, either we're saying yes or we're not. That's how it is. But I want everybody to just close their eyes and no looking around, please. But I want to ask you, if you need to say yes to God, and I don't care if it's your first time saying yes to God or you haven't said yes to God in a while, I want you to just raise your hand. Raise your hand with nobody looking around. I don't want people looking around because this is a sacred moment where we just need to say yes. Thank you. Thank you so much. And I just want to pray for you. I just want to pray. Father, I thank you today. We come before you in the name of Jesus. And Lord, you saw every heart. You saw the yes. And God, I ask you today, the Lord, you would give these people life and you would give it more abundantly. And that God, you would open their hearts to something so brand new that they never thought was possible. God, I'm asking you to take them, if they need to, God, back to the foundations where it all began. Some, God, just need to move farther. They want more, and God, I ask for that today. Jesus, whatever more needs to look like in this church, whatever more needs to look like in our hearts, God, I pray this morning for that more. God, I just thank you that you are the God of more. And Lord, I ask you today that we would just let you have your way in our lives. Holy Ghost, come on us today and burn the chaff out of our lives, God, so that we can burn for you. God, I pray that we would realize we are on holy ground and we would take off the shoes from off our feet. And just like Isaiah in the throne room, he said, oh my God, I'm so undone and my lips are unclean. God, the things that I have been saying about myself and about my country and about my family are not in line with your word. And God, I ask you that today you just touch my lips with a coal off the altar today. And God, that I would get up, that we'd get up and we'd say, you know what? I was undone. But today I'm made whole. And Jesus, I say yes to you. And I just thank you for your goodness. Amen. Thank you so much.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lisa. And it stopped snowing. Have a wonderful day, and dare I say it, go Hawks. I said it last week, and that didn't go real well, but go Hawks. Jesse, don't watch them. Everybody, when Jesse watches them and nobody's around, he's figured it out now, they lose. So stay away from the TV. I'm kidding. God bless you all.